Bibles today. 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. That's not 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John, but the Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John, chapter 9. And we're going to look at just the first four verses. In fact, we're going to be very limited in our look at a text this morning. We'll get to that in just a moment or two. Give you a second to find John chapter 9, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. After we read the scripture together, we'll have a special and we'll jump right into the message. So let's stand, please, in honor of God's good word. And would you please join me on verses 2 and 4. So we're reading now John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Dear Father, would you please bless our message from this passage of your book this morning? I pray that you'll touch it, touch me, the speaker, touch the ears of all who need to listen. May the Holy Spirit have our attention, our concentration today. May our hearts be ready and prepared to receive the good word of God. And may the good seed fall in good ground and bring forth fruit. Thank you for the special, the report from Brother Charlie, the sweetness of the service so far. I pray that now, Lord, you'll just bless the message as only you can. And we'll rejoice in it in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Be there to greet me when
song. Well done this morning. Thank you so much. I remember Dr. John Rice telling how he got jumped one time by a guy with a gun. And the guy threatened him, and John Rice said, "You can't scare me with heaven." Amen. And so that's good. No doubt about it. That's good singing today. Look what I've traded for a mansion. All right, verse number 4. Jesus Christ says here, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." So I want to speak this morning on this subject. I must work. You see the first three words of verse 4 there. John 9 and verse 4. I must work. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank You so much for the good singing, the good music. I pray that You'll please now bless the message. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us. Meet the needs in this room today. I pray that You'll take the very practical nature of this message, make it a blessing to everybody that's listening. We'll thank You for it in advance. God, please be our portion in these next several minutes. If I think about the song, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So would You come and bring that liberty that only You can bring and bless these moments, I pray in Christ's name. And amen. In this chapter, we read of the healing of a blind man. Now, this healing caused quite a stir among the religious lost crowd, the Pharisees. But the man, he came away the winner because he received physical sight. And even better than that, the blind man got saved. All right? Look at verse number 35. Hold your finger there, verse 4. And look down the same chapter to verse number 35. Now, they've had a lot of give and take between this man and the Pharisees, and they're mad, and this man doesn't understand it. And verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when He had found him, and by the way, that those that are cast out are the ones that Jesus is always looking for. So He went and found him. Verse 35, and when He had found him, He said unto him, verse 35, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He, the blind man, answered and said, "Who is He, Lord, that I might believe on Him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped Him. And the man put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and born into the family of God. You know what that's called, friend? That's called a good day right there. A good day. You can go back to the day that you got saved. That's a good day. And if you can't go back to a day when you came to know Christ as your Savior, you can make this a good day by getting saved today. Now, during all that transpired when this man got healed and got saved, Jesus made a statement that I want us to look at, think on for a little while this morning. He said in verse number 4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me." I must work the works of Him that sent me. Hear me, friend. Jesus did not come to the earth to be idle. He did not come to have people wait on Him hand and foot while He issued orders as a potentate. That will come later when He sits on the throne and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. Jesus came to work. That could be another reason why the Pharisees hated Him and why they rejected Him as their Messiah. He came to serve. He came to work. He came to labor. He did not fill His days leading an insurrection against the Roman government. He did not build an army. He did not train a militia, which, by the way, it's very tempting for those of us who are of different political persuasion to get lost in all that's going on right now in our country. Do what you can, folks, but we got to stay the course for the Lord Jesus Christ. I made my phone calls. I hope you did. I called Debbie Halverson's office, and I couldn't get through. I tried to leave a voicemail. The mailbox was full. And so I thought, well, I read in a blurb yesterday afternoon where she's going to vote yes on the health care today in the call. I thought, well, I'm going to call again. And I got her office. I got somebody in the office. And she said, I said, "I read where Mrs. Halverson is going to vote for the health care." "Yes, yes." I said, I gave her my name, my address. I said, "Tell her I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure she doesn't get reelected next fall." Oh, okay. Now, you know, if that's not your persuasion, then that's fine. But I'm going to tell you something. We do it, but then, folks, we can't get lost in that. See, the Jews would have loved it if Jesus had led an insurrection against the Roman government. They'd love that. They would love that. But He didn't come to do that. He did not come to build a militia. He did not come to wear the clothing of royalty. He came to work. That's a dirty four-letter word in our society today. He came to work. Now, in his case, he did not work for wages. He did not work for a paycheck. He came to work the works his Father had ordained for him to work. One of the things he did was right here when he healed this blind man. He said, this man hasn't sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Then he said, I'm going to work those works. His teaching, his preaching, his counseling, his healing, his talking to people, his praying with folks, his meeting people's needs, all of that was his work, and he worked at his work. I told the bus workers and visitation people, good crowd yesterday morning, Brother Caleb was visiting his brother and sister, brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Chad and Jessica Pope, from Thailand. We support them as missionaries. And I told the bus crowd yesterday, the bus visitor, a lot of times these groups like to portray Jesus as some kind of a footloose and free spirit, kind of a wandering nomad that just kind of stumbled into opportunities to kind of help people. Oh, look who's here. I don't believe Jesus Christ lived his life that way. I believe he lived his life on purpose. I believe he lived his life with structure. I believe he said, I must needs go through Samaria, and I got to go here. There was a work that Jesus came to do. So as God in the flesh, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he worked. And by doing so, he left us an example to follow. He left us a principle to understand. Now, here it is. In order to succeed in the works that God has for us to do, it is going to take work. Now, I hate to disappoint you, but you're not going to be slobbered over by some goo from the heavens that's going to transform you into super Christian. It takes work. To succeed in spiritual, eternal matters, it requires the same thing that succeeding in earthly, temporal matters requires. It takes work. W-O-R-K. I like what somebody said or wrote. Somebody said that the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. I like that. And I think that's true. The other day, when my wife was out of town, I was talking to my folks down in Florida, and I was talking to my dad, and I was telling them, we were talking about the weather and how it was as warm up here as it was in Florida and how it's been cold and so forth down in Florida. And he says, you're going to have a garden this year? And I said, yes, sir, I sure am. I said, I read the other day where because of all the cool weather and the frost that the tomato crop has been hurt and they're going to be expensive and the canned tomatoes are going to be up and fresh tomatoes are going to be expensive and sometimes, some cases, hard to get. Don't know if that's true or not, but yes, we're planning to have a garden. And I was talking to Joyce about it the other day, and I was telling her what I wanted to plant. I wanted to plant this and that, and I was thinking about the seeds, and I was thinking about the plants, and I was thinking about the vegetables. Now, friend, do you know where the best place to dream about those vegetables is? Do you know where the best place to dream about those vegetables is? On the working end of a hoe. That's the best place to dream about those vegetables. Too many people dream about a wonderful garden from the couch or the recliner. Too many people dream about a delicious vegetables as they turn those glossy pages in those catalogs and see all those everything there that makes your mouth water. But friend, the best place to dream about those things is on the working end of a hoe. I must work. I must work. You say, you're going to talk about working in the garden? No, I'm not going to talk about working in the garden. But I'm using that as an analogy and illustration. Too many Christians dream of succeeding in certain areas of the Christian life from the recliner. Too many Christians are waiting to win the lottery when it comes to the Christian life to be successful in some way. They're waiting for what's-his-name to knock on the front door and hand the coupon to success in the spiritual life just because they entered a little sweepstakes. Friend, it doesn't happen that way. You're not successful from the recliner or the couch or the rocking chair or the lawn chair. The best place to dream about succeeding in some aspect of the Christian life is from the working end of that aspect. If anybody had the power to think or dream their way to success, the power of positive thinking, if anybody had that power, it was Jesus Christ. Yet what did He say? He did not say, I must dream. He did not say, I must think and I must meditate. He said, I must work. And friend, that has to be our attitude if we want to succeed in some aspect of our Christian walk with God, our Christian service for God. I must work. You say, Pastor, well, when I got saved, all I heard about was eternal life was a gift and it was free. And in fact, you couldn't work for it. If you worked for it, it was made a gift. No, that's true. And salvation is free. And you can't work for it. And if you're trying to work for it now, you're going to fall way short. Way, way short. You can only get salvation by receiving it, the free gift of Jesus Christ. But listen, friend, after salvation comes an ordained, predetermined package of work that God wants us to be busy about. I have quoted before for you, Baptists love Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Oh, we like that. Not of works, 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 lest any man should boast. But don't leave off verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I must work. I've come to Jesus Christ. I have received salvation through repentance and faith and trusting in His death, His burial, His resurrection. It didn't cost me anything. God gave it all to me. It was a free gift. And as soon as I'm born into His family, now I've got some work to do. And if I'm going to be a success, I've got to work at it. I must work. Let me talk practically for a few moments this morning. How about the Bible? How about your Bible? Many Christians dream about knowing their Bible. They dream about learning their Bible. They dream about being able to defend their faith from the Bible. Boy, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to tell folks why I believe what I believe. And I want to know the book. If that's your dream, you can realize your dream. But I'm going to tell you something. Just having a dream is not going to help you realize it. You're going to have to get down on the working end of your dream. Going to have to get to the working end of your Bible. Plan to work at your Bible. There are several things I would do. If I wanted to learn my Bible, if that's my dream, if I have a heart to know God's Word, I want to know it. It's one of the reasons why you come to church and Sunday school. I want to learn. But you say, you know what? I can't hardly get enough. I want to know my Bible. I want to be able to talk about my Bible knowledgeably to lost people. All right? Get your Bible open. When you get it open in the morning or sometime during the day, get you a pen or a pencil in your hand. Don't sit down to read your Bible without a pen or a pencil. If you don't like to mark in your Bible, make sure that you have some paper to write on, a 3x5 card or something. But I would suggest that you write right in the Bible. I've got things written right there on the top of John chapter 9. The page that is John chapter 9 in my Bible. I'd get my pen or pencil. I'd get a cup of coffee if it's early in the morning, if you're a coffee drinker, or a cup of tea if you're a tea drinker, or whatever you like. And I'd get my Bible open. I'd get a pencil or a pen in my hand. I'd say, Lord, would you please open my eyes and show me some wondrous things out of your book today? And then I'd begin to read. And as I read, I would write things down. I would look for repeated phrases. I would look for repeated words. I would look for repeated themes. I would write them down. You say, what if I'm not theologically correct? You'll be all right, friend. I'd get some good books that would help me. You could get a book called The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. It takes every verse in the Bible and it lists, in the book, it lists other verses in the Bible that are similar to that verse. So you can cross-reference what John said and what Peter said and what Jeremiah said and what Moses said and what David said. And you can cross-reference all through your Bible and learn. You can get a book called Knave's Topical Bible. And by the way, folks, on the internet, you can a lot of times get free downloads now of all these type books. You can get Knave's Topical Bible. It's a book of topics, and it lists God, and it lists Jesus, and it lists the Holy Spirit, and it lists salvation, and it lists blood, and it lists atonement, and it lists adoption, and it has all the verses in the Bible that pertain to that subject. And you can by topic study the Bible and write things down. You can get you a Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language. One of the greatest books you'll ever have. Get that book, and if you come to a word you don't quite sure what it means, look it up in that Webster's 1828 dictionary. You say, oh, no, Pastor, wait a minute. You mean I have to buy some things? Well, folks, you know what? If I'm going to have a good garden, I'm going to have to put a little money into it. I'm going to have to buy some seed. I'm going to have to buy some plants. I don't have that greenhouse thing. You start the plants. I buy the plants and buy the seed. I buy the fertilizer. If I'm going to have a decent garden this fall, get some vegetables this summer, I'm going to have to put a little money into it. You know what? We want success in the Christian life. We want success in some aspect of the Christian life to come to us at no expense, to come to us with no sweat. And I'm telling you, it's not going to come that way. I must work. I know this is not an exciting topic for a Sunday morning. I just spent 5 or 6 days working. This is my only day off, and you come here and tell me I got to work. I'm sorry. But there's no other way around it, friend. If you're going to succeed in some aspect of the Christian life, I must work. I must work. I'll go a step further. For some of you who are really interested and hungry to know the Bible, go to Revival Fires. Get Brother Coral's correspondence courses on certain lessons and topics, and get you the material. And in an evening, take an hour or an hour and a half a week, one night, and just study the Bible. Look, if you want to know, is that your dream? Oh, I'd love to know the Bible. Oh, I'd love to know it. I'd love to be able to answer people who criticize it. I'd love to know the truth. I'd love to know my Bible. You can. If that's your dream, you can realize it. Get on the working end of that hole. I must work. How about prayer? Is that your dream? Many Christians dream about a prayer life that draws us closer to God and sees answers and helps their loved ones and helps friends and helps relatives, and a prayer life that brings you into sweet communion with the Lord God Almighty. If that's your dream, you can realize your dream. But it won't happen by dreaming. I must work. You want a good prayer life? All right, you got to get a journal. You got to get a piece of paper. You got to get a pen. You got to sit down, and you got to write on the top here. You got to write. You got to write confession, and you got to write it there so you remind yourself when you start praying. Ask the Lord to forgive you and clean your heart, and make the line of communication between Him and you wide open. And then write family. Put your spouse's name on there, and then put all your children's name. If you got married children, put their spouse's name, and put the grandchildren, and then put your parents if they're still living, and write their names on there, and then put friends on there, and then put your church on there, and then put your job on there, and then put whatever is on your heart, whatever you need, put it on there, and get that journal set up, and get you a time and a place to pray. Some folks like to walk and pray. You don't have to be, you know, the conventional wisdom tells us the politically correct position for prayer is on our knees with our heads bowed and our hands folded like this. You ever tried to pray for a long time in that position? Now, if you can do that, God bless you. I was talking to somebody the other day who was a little older than I was, and he said, "Man, my knees won't take that anymore." And usually when I get in that position, I get to about the third thing on that list right there, and then it's... Huh? You can walk and pray. You can walk and pray. You go through the Bible, man, you'll find out where they lifted up holy hands and they raised their eyes and looked toward heaven and in moving about. But get you a time, get you a place, get you a journal, get you a simple list, categorize your prayers. You say, "Well, my list is too long to pray for through all of it every day." There are some things you ought to pray about every day. There are some things you could pray about every other day. There are some things you could pray about once a week. There are some things you could pray about once a month. But you got to work. Plan your work and then work your plan. I must work. Folks, you're not going to be zapped by lightning. You're not going to go to the mailbox one day and take this envelope out. "I won! I won! I won! I'm an expert prayer person. I won!" That ain't going to happen. I must work. I must work. You ain't got to work at praying. It's work. It's work. You got to work at it. You know, I think one of the things that made this all-night prayer meeting was a wonderful success. It was a blessing. It was good. And I think one of the things that made it so good, humanly speaking, just the fellowship with God was wonderful. But I think one of the things that made it so successful was that it was structured. It was organized. And we prayed for a while, and then we sang, and we had specific things to pray about. It wasn't just, whatever comes to mind. We took requests one prayer period. We prayed for the missionaries. We prayed for our missionaries. We prayed for the college students. We prayed for the teenagers. Brother Jason Minkowski got right here, right where Travis DeVries is sitting, right there. there in the middle of this section, and 20-something of us got on our knees around this section right here, and he read off every teenager's name and every college-age person's name in this church one by one, and all 20-something of us prayed 45 seconds for all those kids, every kid sitting here this morning. Pray for you guys, you ladies. Pray for you, Mary. Pray for you, Kiara. Pray for all of our kids. Academy kids, church kids, school kids, homeschool kids, those that ride the bus in. Pray 45 seconds to a minute. That's longer than some parents pray for their kids. Amen, Brother Angel. You're right. It's kind of quiet, but you're right. Yeah, we caught them all. Right? It was structured. It was organized. And because it was structured and organized and scheduled, 6.5 hours went by. Went by, I was done. Couldn't believe it. Time to go home. Time to go to IHOP. Get some pancakes. Amen. It was good. We had a good time. But it takes work. I must work. You say, no. I want the Christian life to be free and cost me nothing. That's salvation. Salvation is free, will cost you nothing, but the Christian life is going to cost you. I must work. How about being a soul winner? You've heard Brother Caleb teach on Sunday nights about winning folks to Christ, and these are the verses that you use. And how about being a soul winner? Do you dream about winning souls to Christ? Do you dream about having somebody sitting in the church pew with you that you had the opportunity to win to Christ, and they came, maybe they get baptized, and they get discipled? Just one, like we said last Sunday night, if all of us would just reach one, just one person in a 365-day period, what a difference that would make in our church. What a difference it would make for us. And you dream about that. Oh, I'd love that. I'd love that. I'd love to have somebody sitting down the pew for me like some of the other folks do who got saved. Okay, friend, if that's your dream, you can realize your dream. But it's not going to happen through the mailbox. It's not going to come through the internet. It's going to take work. I must work. I must work. Well, I must work. Learn the path. I love what a man told me this week. A man told me this week who has been a soul winner, who has won folks to Christ, and knows the plan of salvation. But he said, you know what? I heard Brother Runyon say, to be a soul winner, all you need to know is one verse. Well, I thought you went to a lot of verses. Yeah, but all you need to know is one. All you need to remember is 1 John 5:13. If you can remember 1 John 5:13, and they said, then you take your pen, besides 1 John 5:13, you write Romans 3:10. And then you turn to Romans 3:10, and besides Romans 3:10, you write 3:23. And then besides 3:23, you write 5:12. Besides 5:12, you write 6:23. And then besides Romans 6:23, you write Revelation 21:8 and 20:14. Then you write by Revelation 20:14, you write Romans 6:23 again. You go back there, then you go to Romans 5:8. Then you go to Romans 10:9, 10:11, 12, and 13. Then you go to John 1:12. And just write. And the man in our church sat down this week and mapped the plan of salvation. You know what that's called? That's called work. I must work. I must work. Got to work at it. Get you an organized time to go visiting. There's several of those times here at the church. Decide on the time to go. If you can't go on Tuesday morning, afternoon, or evening, meet Brother Caleb down here after church on Sunday night. He'll try to hook you up with somebody during the week. Some of our staff are available to go, and they do go at different times in the week with people here in the church. You got to work at it. You say, well, you know, I think I'm just going to be like Brother Runyon. You know, he talked about winning this person here, winning this person here, and winning this person here. If you travel as much as Wendell Runyon does, you can do that. Who travels as much as he does? He's on the go, folks. He preached 5 weeks of missions conferences in Illinois here, 5 weeks in a row, and went back to North Carolina at the end of every missions conference. That's called traveling a lot. When you travel that much, man, you see new people, you see strange people, you see all kinds of folks out there, amen? And you see folks you never see anywhere else. But most of us are in a schedule. Most of you are in some kind of structured schedule. You go to the same job, the same store, you see the same people at the same places. It's good to witness to those. But when you go out with an organized group, you see people you never cross paths with. Isn't that right, Tom Griffey? Tom Griffey and Jason Pixley have been going out on Saturday mornings, visiting the bus route. And Tom told Brother Caleb, he said, man, I could not believe how many people I ran across knocking doors that I knew. I think that's what you said, right? How many people I knew in this area. You ran across them. You want to be a soul winner? I must work. I must work. I must work. You got to work at it. You want to have a good marriage?
good marriage? I must work. You want to rear decent children to serve God, be obedient, and a good spirit and a good attitude? It takes work. Listen to me. It takes nothing but animal passion to bring a child into this world. Amen. And that's the problem in this country. But brother, we're not in this thing like animals. And as soon as that baby is born into this world, you mark it down, the W-O-R-K begins. The Bible says it is good that a child should not be left to himself. I can't remember the exact quote right now. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. But I'm going to tell you something. There are children left to themselves when dad and mom are in the house. I'm talking about dad and mom inside the four walls of the home, but so engrossed in the television or the internet or the computer that the kids are basically left to themselves inside the house with mom and dad in the house. That won't work. You're not going to rear kids that way. It takes work. It takes work. You got to be with them, and you got to play with them, and you got to instruct them, and you got to teach them, and you got to tie some strings from your heart to theirs. It takes W-O-R-K. It takes work. It takes work. You want to get victory over some sin that defeats you? Well, I'm just waiting to wake up someday and God to zap me. God may zap you, but it may be the last breath you have on this earth. I wouldn't be waiting for God to zap me to get me victory over some alcoholic beverage or some cigarette or some other vice, some gambling, some of the things I got myself hooked into. I wouldn't be waiting for God to zap me. Well, how do I get over it? It's called work. I know, it's called getting your fingers dirty. It's that dirty four-letter word. W-O-R-K. It takes work. Got to get in your Bible. Got to get the verses. Folks, people come to counsel to get over stuff. And you know what I do? I get a Bible, and I get a card. And I go to my Bible, get my card, and I write down verses. Put all these verses on 3x5 card. When you get up in the morning, first thing you do is read that verse and ask God to give you victory. In some cases, I've told fellas to pray for victory for 1 hour. What I mean is, God, give me victory the next hour. If they get up at 7 o'clock, read the verse and say, God, I claim this verse. Give me victory for the next hour. At 8 o'clock, read another verse and claim God's help for another hour. At 9 o'clock, read another verse and claim God's help for another hour. And do it all day long, day after day after day after day. Oh, it's called work. Y'all with me this morning? I know this is about 3/4 are like, oh, brother. But if you're going to succeed in the Christian life, it's not going to come from a lightning bolt or something that falls out of the heavens. It's going to come because you work at it. Work at it. Work at it. Jesus said, I must work. Get some Bible. And you know what? If you need to come to me for the Bible verses, that's fine. Or come to one of these men, that's fine. But you've got a Bible. You've got a concordance. You can get that Knaves Topical Bible. You want it bad enough, you can get it. We get most everything else we want bad enough to get. Thanks, work. Going to go to the mission field and be an effective missionary? Oh, yes. Oh, man, on the call of God. And the power oozes up and down your body. Talk to Brother Best about that. He'll tell you. You know what it's called? It's called work. It's called work. Work, 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 work. Brother Best, you asked how Ben was doing at the end of last year. I got to finish up here. At the end of last year, he had a man that was coming to the Bible study there whose brother got murdered. Then he had a woman who was coming to the Bible study who was expecting a baby. She was in the city bus, got in an accident, miscarried the baby, and the next Sunday they had zero in their Bible study. Everybody started talking. They're steeped in spiritism, witchcraft, demonology. Now if you go to that Bible study, look what happens to you. So about 3 weeks in a row, he had zero. Goose egg. Goose egg zero. You know how fun that is? About that third week, I could tell it was starting to get to him. He said, how did the Bible study today? Well, nobody showed up, Ashley and the kids. At least they came. I said, son, You got some money in your work fund. Get you some money. Get somebody to translate you a flyer. Get you a flyer. Go to those textile factories. And he did that. He put, I don't know how much money into printing all these flyers. They've gone. They've passed out flyers by the thousands, working. And now they've had 13, 16, 10, and 13 new visitors every week. You know what success is called? It's spelled W-O-R-K. I must work. I'm going to finish up. Here we go. I. That's personal. Nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to do it for you, folks. This is not, God's is not the government. Nobody's going to do it for you. Somebody might take you by the hand and help you and pray for you and give you some encouragement, but you are going to have to decide to put your nose to the grindstone and put some feet to your dreams and grab a hoe by the working end and hoe and work and work, and you're going to have to do it. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, if you fail at every aspect of the Christian life, you're not going to be able to point at anybody else and say, well, if I'm... That ain't going to happen. I, that's personal. Must, that's priority. Must is priority. Got to do it. Must. Must is not maybe. Must. I've got to do this. If I'm going to learn the Bible, I can't let anything interfere with this time I've set apart to learn my Bible and work at it. I must do it. If I'm going to try to rear my children for the glory of God, I must do it. It's not a maybe. It's a priority. I is personal, must is priority, work is proactive. Work is proactive. Work is doing something, organized, planned, structured, scheduled. That's what it is. I, personal, must, priority, work, proactive. Look, folks, you know, there's a lot of illustrations and analogies in the Bible comparing physical life with spiritual life. You can learn a lot about spiritual life from physical life. And spiritual success is like physical success. The only thing you don't have to work at is your birth. What did you and I do to be born? Nothing. We came out squalling and bawling at the light of day. But from that moment, to build muscle and to build strength, and to get to the place where I can take my physical body and use it to be a productive person in society. I love to see the little grandchildren, the two that are close enough, you know, and Hannah would put little Kyle on his belly. And boy, just a struggle to crawl an inch or two, and usually they crawl backwards first. And the effort they put into crawling, before you know it, they've crawled over to some table somewhere, and you watch them, and the effort they put, their little hands on the edge of the table, and the little legs are wobbly, and they think they're King Tut. Until they let go. And then taking those steps, and then learning to run, and the rest of their life, if you're going to be a success physically, is spent working. And if you've been born into the family of God, and you want to succeed in your Bible, and your prayer, and your witness, family, it's in your personal life having victory. You're going to have to crawl backwards at first if necessary, and then forward, and then pull yourself up, and then take a few steps. I must work. You know why we got some defeated Christians today? It's spelled L-A-Z-Y. Lazy. We got the attitude the government's handed out so much stuff for so long. Yep, take care of this, take care of that. We carried that same mentality right into the spiritual realm. God, just hand it to me. I must work. What are you working at? What are you working at? You working at your Bible? You working at prayer? Are you working at getting victory over that sinful habit? What are you working at? Well, I got a job. Okay, I know. I'm glad you got a job. I'm glad you got a garden. I'm glad you got a lawn. I'm glad you got a house. And that's all wonderful. Some of you guys are so talented and gifted in that area. It amazes me. What are you working at spiritually? I must thing you don't work at is your birth. And the same is true about salvation. You don't work to be saved. In fact, you can't work to be saved. Jesus has done all that work for you. It just takes you to have an honest, confessing heart to confess that you're a sinner and embrace what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary and get born into God's family. But after that, if you're going to succeed in the Christian life, I must work. I preached that this morning because I told Brother Charlie, I said, just take a few minutes and talk about your work, because there's a lot of new converts sitting out here. They're saved, newly saved, excited about it, excited about new life in Christ. And you know what? I want you to enjoy everything that God has for you. Salvation was a free gift. But I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to tell you right now, be honest as I can with you, if you're going to enjoy all that God has, you're going to have to adopt Jesus' words. I must work. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Before I give the invitation, let me just ask you a few questions, and we'll be on our way shortly here. Who this morning would say, Brother Angel, I'm suffering in some aspect of the Christian life. You hit the nail on the head with me. I have been dreaming about it. I've been thinking about it. I've been wanting it, desiring it. But the truth of the matter is, I feel like after listening to the message this morning, I have not put forth the effort. I've got to pick up the working end of the hoe and get busy in this area of the Christian life. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? I see those hands. God bless you. I say amen to that. I appreciate your honesty. Thank you very much. You may take your hands down. In just a minute, if God spoke to your heart, I hope that you'll visit the altar, express to the Lord your appreciation for Him speaking to your heart, and ask Him to help you pick up the working end of that hoe. Anybody else? Pastor, I should have raised my hand just then. I feel like I'm not at work in any area of the Christian life. I'm lagging behind in one or two. Pray for me. I should have raised my hand a moment ago. I didn't. I will now. God bless you. I appreciate that. Anybody else? All right. Yes, in the balcony. God bless you. Who's here this morning? Pastor Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I'm saved and I know it for a Bible reason. If that's your testimony, would you raise your hand, please? Wherever you're sitting this morning, you're saved and you know it. Be honest before God. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Couldn't raise my hand a moment ago. I was honest. I didn't raise my hand. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm born again. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that in the room this morning? Downstairs, upstairs, front to back, side to side. Member or visitor, man or woman, boy or girl, doesn't matter. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the room this morning? Salvation is a free gift. You have to receive it by faith, trusting in Jesus, His Son. Anybody? I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized since you've been saved. And maybe you came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You want to obey the Lord in that matter. Maybe you need to learn about it. But Pastor, I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Would you lift your hand? Not been baptized since I've been saved. All right. If you came this morning to be baptized, you may come when we start the music in just a moment, or even now if you want to. My dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Bible, for every part of it. And thank you for Jesus Christ and what He said and what it teaches us in this passage of your Word. Help us, O Lord God, to understand that spiritual victory is going to come through work. I pray that you'd burden our hearts this morning to be busy about working to be a success in some aspect of the Christian life. Lord God, give the people a mind. Give us all a mind to work and succeed in Bible and prayer and witnessing, living a clean life, being a good spouse, a good parent. Lord, help us, please. Help us to have the mindset of Christ. I must work in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand. The ladies are going to play. When they do, if you raised your hand, said, the Lord spoke to my heart, hope that you'll use this altar. It's open. It's ready. It's available for you. If the Lord spoke to your heart, if you're not saved, you come. One of these three men in the front, just say, sir, I'd like to be saved, or I need to be baptized. But you obey the Lord. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As they come. Here comes one. I must work. I must work. God speak to your heart. I must work. That's one. I must work. Thank you.
you take just a minute and let the Lord speak to your heart and tell the Lord you're so thankful He spoke to you? About that truth, friend, is everybody in the world can do it. If it said I must have an IQ of some large number, not everybody could do that. I must have this gift or this talent. That's not that. Jesus said he needed to do what everybody can do. I must. Everybody can do that. Get you some aspect. Get you one of these aspects and go to work on it this week. Stay at it. You seen a measure of success and victory in that? Get you another. Start with your Bible, then go to prayer. Just stay at it. I must work. Thank you, ladies. God bless us today. Thank you for these that have come. Bless the decisions. I pray to be cemented in the heart, Lord, more just a trip to the altar, but a change in our behavior, our attitude about the Christian life. Well, thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. I want to wear. I can get out before noon. I can do this. It was all a matter of convenience as opposed to commitment. So here's old Jeroboam. He's got it all going. He's got these sacrifices over here in Bethel and Dan. He's got the people coming on the 15th day of the 8th month. He's offering the sacrifices. He's got all kinds of folks involved in positions of leadership that had no business being in leadership. And it's all going great. And everybody's talking about how wonderful this is and how great this is and how different and how new. And 1 Kings 13, verse number 1, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. He said, shame on you. I'm going to tell you what I want. I don't want to be a Jeroboam. I'd rather be that guy in chapter 13, verse 1, who points his finger and says, what in the world are we doing, folks? Are we more concerned about having a crowd than we are building followers of Jesus Christ? What are we doing? We are not called to build centers of convenience. We are called to build people to commit to following Jesus Christ. A life of commitment to Jesus Christ. Jeroboam desired the people's loyalty. He diluted the requirements for leadership. And he devised change out of his own heart. And the thing went quicker than you could blink an eye. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you for listening this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless our church. Help us to be what you want it to be. May we never change it. May we never, Lord, be guilty of these things that Jeroboam was guilty of. Desiring people's loyalty as opposed to building followers of Christ. Diluting the requirements for leadership. Devising change out of our own heart. Help us to think outside the box, but never outside the book. Bless us this morning, Lord. Help us to stay on course. Thank you for a Bible. Thank you for people who help us. Thank you for preachers and men of God who've gone before us, who paved the way. Help us, Lord, to follow in that Bible's path and in their footsteps. Help us to be true to you. And always choose commitment as opposed to convenience. Now, thank you for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a couple of questions this morning. Who would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. On my way to heaven. Know when I got saved. I'm headed there. Know it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Would you raise your hand this morning if you could say that? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. Who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm a born-again child of God. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that here this morning? Not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody here would say, Pastor, I've not been baptized in obedience to the command of Christ. I'm saved, but not baptized. Anybody like that here today? You raise your hand. All right. Very good. Now, in just a moment, we'll give the invitation. If
if you've been saved, baptized, you've been thinking about joining the church, you know this is the place where God wants you to become a member and join and be a part of it. You've talked to one of us, you come, or come, we'll set up an appointment sometime to get with you. That's what we'll do. But if you know this is where God wants you to join, you've talked to us, you come. Folks, listen, by the grace of God, we do not want to see this place become a center of convenience. Rather, keep it a place of commitment. That's what we're called to do. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not dip ourselves. We ought to do everything we can to reach everybody in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then we should not dip ourselves to try to appease anybody. Stay on course for God. Stay on course. Maybe there's some area of your life where you see that you've substituted convenience for commitment. God, the Holy Spirit, come by you this morning and say, hey, hey, this is not about convenience. This is about commitment. And you use the altar. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song. May God give us a heart to follow Jesus tonight. You come while we wait. We won't be here long today. While we wait. Centers of convenience as opposed to churches of commitment. Amen. While we wait just a few more minutes this morning, if you come. About commitment, it's about paying the price. Thank God Jesus didn't stop short of paying the price for our salvation. And friend, we ought not look for an easy way out. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Commitment. Thank you, ladies. Dear Father, would you please help us, bless us today. Thank you for these folks who come out this morning. God, I pray that you'll help us be true to your word. Lord, bless this place. Bless us as you have in the past. And God, I pray that the future will be helped and guided by your grace. We'll thank you for it. Thank you for everybody here today. Thank you for this young lady who got saved. In Jesus' name, amen.